the 6th sub-floor basement of the Guys Games and Beer Towers. It is the podcast of lingering disappointment. Guys Games and Beer!
Yay!
Dude, with sound.
Not with sound, yes.
That's why we were too right on before.
Yeah, well, that's it, because now we'll screw it up and be late. All right, so I suppose we should get to Beer Court, Rob.
What?
Beer Court?
What? Oh. Ba-da-bum! Beer Corps.
Alright, so Larry, we have a new beer tonight.
We have Mystical Jack. This is from Rhinelander Brewery out of Monroe, Wisconsin. And doesn't have a big story here.
Now, wait a minute. Rhinelander Brewery out of Monroe. Now, isn't like Rhinelander a city in Wisconsin, though?
So why isn't
Rhinelander out of Rhinelander?
And why is it not the Hodeg?
Well, have you been to Rhinelander Brewery? I mean, it's like that area.
Point well taken. I have been to Rhinelander.
Yeah,
that
whole day
is thing
historical.
Is next to a park.
I agree with you.
Okay, all right.
Besides,
all right.
I think Rhinelander, I won't know
not the whole
sure,
day,
but
way.
I do
totally
think it also is kind of like an area, like up north.
It is.
Also, are you trying to kill us?
So,
did you see the alcohol by volume?
No, we're going to get to that. So there isn't a big story on here. Some of them have a big story about the brewery and stuff. This one does not. It just says this is inspired by the age-old legend of the jackalope, which is featured predominantly.
Which is an animal that masturbates.
Yeah, well, that would make sense.
I jackalope every chance I get.
Yeah, that's it. A rare and fierce creature. Wow, is this really for beer?
Is this beer for real?
I like it my way better. So, anyways, 7% about 7% alcohol. So that's pretty.
Yeah,
that's a lot for.
This is not a session.
And
this is not a session.
80 IBU. So
that's for an ale. I'm not sure. That's a good thing.
That seems a little high for an ale.
But it's traditional ale.
But I gotta be honest. We've had other stuff from this brewery, and we've not had great luck. So.
All right. Let's try this and find out.
Oh, I like it.
Oh,
I'm okay with it.
No.
Really?
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm okay
like
with
it
so far.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I actually like it quite a bit.
Well, I, gotta take
I was expecting to hate it, honestly.
Sour
it tastes very much like a traditional ale.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I know, like a traditional ale.
Are you? Yeah, well, no, what? Jeez, I wonder why it tastes a little off, Larry.
Hold on. That's why I got to give it another try here.
That's really not bad.
Sorry.
It's a good solid ale.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, I would have thought it would be really bitter, but it's not.
No, it's got a bitter finish.
Especially
but it's not
after
super
you swallow
bitter.
And everything. It's pretty
you know,
bitter.
Bitter's a funny thing. I hear people talk about bitterness of like an IPA, okay? And then I hear people talk about it, like coffee bitter. It's almost like there's two different bitters.
Well, there
but
really are.
If I got this in a bar and I didn't like, if I wanted an ale and I bought this without kind of knowing what it was because it's just a bottle and not the whole pack, I might be upset because it is more bitter than you would expect from an ale.
I'm okay with the bitterness though.
Well, it's a traditional.
This goes back down.
You don't know how far
it's,
back it goes.
Right.
If it's 200-year-old tradition, well, maybe it's supposed to be.
It's
that
not
bitter.
So bitter. It's again, like we always talk about. It won't be the last thing you taste
for
the evening.
Right.
It's bitter enough where you taste it. It's not even something. It's not even like a hoppy bitter. It's It's just got a bitter. It's got a bitter finish, but it's not like a hoppy bitter.
Well, more like a coffee bitter.
Yeah, more like a coffee. You're right. It's more like a coffee bitter.
That's probably why I like it so much, huh?
It is
bitter like life.
It's really not bad. So I would say that maybe we've had a little better luck with that.
I pound down this 7%.
But that, yeah, that being said, you won't be slamming a whole bunch of these at 7%.
Challenge
no.
Please.
All right, well, again.
Well,
if you're from Wisconsin, you might.
Someone's gonna.
I do love
home.
This.
It's
I love this.
The artwork is pretty good.
If you enjoy ales in any capacity, this is worth trying.
Yeah,
like it's really well done. Like,
yeah, it's good.
Do you have a jackalope on your mantle?
About it,
you know, like
Most Wisconsin.
No, especially about you,
I do
Travis.
Not have a jackalope.
I disagree!
In the bar? There should be one in the bar, right?
I don't have it. It's not that kind of bar.
Someone has
it. Not a jackalope style bar.
All right, let's go. Let's pass verdict on this. We'll give a thumbs up.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, I'll be damned.
Well, again.
They pulled off a thumbs up around
the
board.
Well, not quite. Larry's just semi erect. He's got a chubby going.
He's only regular jacking. He's not mystical jacking.
Difficult, just to be difficult.
All right, Judge Rob, pass verdict on this.
By the way, Peanut Gallery Benjamin
is
accepting the challenge to pound these down.
All right.
All right.
Don't do it, Benji.
So we got a repeating theme of beers. Jackalope, monkeys, dirt.
So we're doing animals?
We have been doing a lot of animal.
Cheers.
Never mind, Travis. All right, Ben. Challenge definitely was accepted.
No, there's a little bit left in there.
That's spit and foam.
Hey, if we were in a drinking contest and I held it up like this.
We're not a beer fest. We're a guy's game for beers. We don't have standards. 90% is an A.
Judge Rob, let's rock and roll on this. Give us a verdict.
All right, on count one of public indecency, I find you guilty. You're jackaloping in public. It's not good. Can't be doing that kind of crap.
Oh, only if you get caught.
Challenging sentence.
On count?
Oh, shit, I'm sorry. On count two. Oh, you're going to groan. Fixing what ails ya.
That's a comedy
sport. Grown up!
All right,
go. We're not doing.
You know, plus we're not doing great
tangent. Hey, Joel, how you doing, buddy? Long time. Joel,
nice to see you drinking.
Hi, Joel.
Hey. Matt's
not even here today.
You tune in when Matt's not actually on the show tonight.
Maybe that's why.
All right. So, we have finished Beer Corp. What's the real topic tonight, Rob?
Well, today we're going to talk about this rash I've got right.
I have a sad for that.
I bet you do.
That's how he got the rash in the first place.
Well, we're going to talk. We're going to talk about that special thing in our collection that matters. Most important thing, if you will, in our collection to us. It's like a personal. It's a real personal. This is a personal.
Oh,
episode. It doesn't have to be rare. It just has to be special.
Right.
By the way, this topic comes to us via VidjaGamer. Hey, VidjaGamer.
He showed some pretty cool stuff in his video.
Yeah, he sent me a challenge to do one on my station. And I did it, and then I sent us a challenge to do it. Which I knew we'd answer. Also, Steve Bentley got it, and our good friend Forrest Bauer got one.
Oh, did you challenge Forrest to this too? Oh, good.
Yeah, because I thought it'd be neat to get some board game stuff.
He hasn't done one yet.
Oh.
Yeah,
he's going to imagine it'd be a board game.
Yeah, but that's, you know something? Oh, no.
That's the idea.
I wish
we would have done a board game.
We could have. We'll talk about that when we get going here. Who wants to go first? What's up with their collection piece?
Travi.
No, you're up first, Travis.
All right. So for mine, I very much enjoyed this piece. Basically,
it's that bag.
Yeah, it's a bag. It's a blue bag.
It carries all my games.
This is the one piece in my collection that I most enjoy. I've had this on the show before. It's the 10 million model PlayStation, it's a cool piece. It's not anything extraordinary. Again, at the end of the day,
it's rare.
But at the end of the day, it's a colored PlayStation. But the fact that it has a very cool story behind it, again, only about 300 of these in the world. There's 100 U.S. models of these. They had 100 European, 100 North American, and then 100.
Love about that, buddy.
So, and it's, again, outside of it being Midnight Blue, which is pretty cool, it's got the 10 million model marking on the back. It's like a not for sale. Unfortunately, I did not get the controller with it. But the fact that I did find this on Craigslist, I think I was posting an ad at the time looking for games. Somebody had messaged me about it. They knew it was from a promotion. They had got it from a cousin who won in a contest, and they reached out to me about it. It was a total fucking pain in the ass to get.
I remember what you were.
I saved all the text messages. I really did.
So take us through a brief explanation.
Okay, so I had put up an ad on Craigslist. I was looking for stuff, basically, just kind of seeing if anybody had anything they wanted to sell.
Looking for stuff.
Yeah, I was looking for stuff. Yeah, looking man for man section. You know, no big deal. but I got a message, a text message, basically, that he had to have this PlayStation
Man
stuff.
With games.
And he knew what it was. And unfortunately, like, this was probably about 2015, about 2 years ago.
Almost. Yeah, about 2 years ago now.
There's not a whole lot of information online about it. Like, if you do a Google search on it, they're not on eBay a lot, because there's only 300 of them. It's not a great order. I'm missing the IO port on the back cover. It's in okay cosmetic shape. There's no controller for it. So
believe me, I've been keeping my eyes open.
Oh yeah, I know. There was one that showed up online. I wanted like $500 for it. I tried
just the controller.
Just the controller.
Yeah, yeah. A regular PS1 controller.
I offered him like $250 for it.
But to make the set complete,
yeah, you know, there's only 300 of these in the world. They're more controllers. They had,
right.
That was like a second place prize. They had like 1,000. There's technically 1,300 approximate controllers because they gave away 1,000 just the controllers, and then 300 of the systems, and then have the controller and everything else.
I was gonna spray paint one blue for you.
I'm saying just to put this in perspective.
Oh, we've seen how well that
I'm
looks.
Cheap, and I would spend $250 on
so,
most things.
But the guy had texted me. And it legitimately was a back and forth. Like, I was like, we're trying to work out a trade and, like, partial cash. And, like, we went through, like, 8 different deals. Like, I had a ton of stuff. But the guy just was really fucking indecisive. And I was just like, but I entertained it because it was like, oh, when are you ever going to find this again? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I just tried to be polite. But the guy was just, like, very, very fucking, like, dismissive. And then he, like, ended up like, oh, I found my his cousin wanted to buy it back or whatever, and I was just like, fuck it, like that's fine, you know, do what you gotta do. And then he messaged me out of the blue like 2 weeks later, like, oh, hey, you still want it? Let's go. And
totally
I
fell through.
Yeah,
yeah. No, you figured the deal was all dead already.
Yeah. So
point.
He messaged me out of the blue, and I'm like, I will be there, and I dropped everything I was doing. I like was like, I don't want him to fucking change his mind again. I am driving up there now. Let's fucking do this. And so I legitimately...
Awesome, take a vacation day.
Yeah.
You did, actually.
All right. I took like a half day. But so I legitimately drove to like northern Wisconsin. It was like a 3-hour drive. I went with
Wait,
Jess.
To Ryland?
To meet in a Farm and Fleet parking lot.
Of course.
I forget exactly. I traded like a bunch of like 3DS stuff. Some Nintendo goodie, like Nintendo stuff trades well. So I traded him some. He wanted some games, and I gave him like cash on top of that. So it came out to like 500-ish in like games and cash. I remember giving him like 200 cash, and then like a bunch of games and stuff. But all in all, it was a good deal. So yeah, I ended up with this bad boy, and it was very well worth it.
Right, and for the last 2 years, we've shown it at MGC, and you can be sure it will be at MGC again
and
this year.
Until the Nintendo prototype showed up, that was the rarest PlayStation.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So so literally, MGC
this
has
is the second rarest
has
PlayStation
the two rarest games. PlayStations available, the prototype.
Yeah,
and they're at MGC.
At the end of the day, like it's cool because like a lot of the game collecting for me, and for a lot of people who do collecting, it's fun to hunt for stuff. Like, the game stuff is nice. It's nice to have that collection, but the thrill of the hunt. A lot of people like that. Being able to... And I talk with a lot of cool people who game and everything, and it's a good way to network. And, like, this is, like, the epitome of, like, the good and bad of game collecting, because it was, like, seriously, it was 300-plus text messages, three weeks. It was, like, over... Yeah, it was, like, three and a half weeks.
Work to it.
Of that
talking about this.
Yeah, I was like, am I going to get it? Am I not going to get it? Am I going to get it? Like, what are we doing now? Like, and then after, like, you know, the whole thing of, like, it falling apart, it's like, fuck it. You know, it's not like, it's not really worth it. Not worth that extra stress. And then, again, at the end of the day, I ended up getting it. So that was pretty cool. So it's kind of, like, a good reminder. Like, you know, there's still cool stuff out there. Because you read a lot of, like... I hang out on the game collecting subreddits and stuff like that. And, like, people post really cool scores. And, like, sometimes you get dry spells. Like, or again, you just don't have the extra time or money to collect. And, like, sometimes you're never going to find any good deals when you do have the extra cash. And that kind of sucks. But, like this and a couple other scores I have, like, this is the pinnacle of, like, there's still cool stuff out there. There's still, like, if you... put in the extra time and effort, and you kind of look around and, you know, see, willing to compromise a little bit and spend a little extra time, like, you can find cool stuff out there. And, like, this, whenever I look at the system, it just reminds me, like, there's, it's 2017, and you can still find good deals at the end of the day.
So, yeah. I got a quick question for you. So, of this stuff that you used in trade, is there any of it that you resought out and got?
No, it was mostly doubles. I have a very large 3DS collection, so I traded, Jess and I both had DSs, and I traded my DS XL, she still had one, and I was like, yeah, I've got two DSs around, like, I can still play, like, DS games on that, so she still had hers, and then, like, all the games were doubles, like, again, I try to, like, pick up Mario titles and first-party Nintendo stuff when it's cheap, and, like, the Pokemon games, those are always really popular, because those have great trade value, those, like, never go down. Mm-hmm. So it's just like,
so it wasn't like something like,
no,
oh man, I gotta
hurry. It was
I'm
easy.
I'm going to give that way now. Now I'm on the hunt for this over here.
No, I was very lucky on that front. It's just like, it was nice to have all that stuff and I'd not even think twice about it.
This guy seems like a schmuck, but you.
He was, but he.
Yeah.
Wait.
I would be hesitant to go.
I don't think
he might just have been torn.
No, he was a schmuck.
No, have Trevor show you the text messages.
Yeah, it was very
angry. I've seen the 300
text messages. Yeah, but think about that. 300
text messages. It was 300 plus. I'm not even joking. Like, it is legitimately 300 plus text messages.
But I can totally understand being like,
no, schmuck is the nice word.
Yeah. And it's just like, well, the thing is, like, he would like, kind of make up his mind and change his mind. And, like, it was, I don't know. Regardless of how he was in the situation, it's just like, it was sometimes it's just worth the extra effort. Just kind of like set aside, like, okay, it's, you know, a few hours extra of my time, but it was worth it. It was worth the extra time, for sure. All
right, who wants to go next?
I'll go next. All right. I actually didn't bring mine in. Like
that. That's okay.
But.
So hold it up.
It's here. That's a nice cock you got.
That's
there.
That's the clear 3DS XL.
Yeah. So really ultimate clear.
Mine is simple. It's something that matters to me is my original Nintendo and Super Nintendo. Why? Because they're the same ones I've had since I was a child and still work.
See, that's a nice thing. Like, having the stuff you had when you were a child is just like, again, there's just something magical about
it. And then, like, I will spend money, like, nothing failed. The only thing I've had to do is clean up the contacts on the NES. But other than that, like, I've had no issues with them, and I will spend money to fix them because I want to keep those ones.
Oh,
because, I mean, it's important.
So, no, that is, because how many times do we talk about the games that we had when we were younger that we go out and rebuy? Yeah. So the fact you were able to hold on to those for that.
And the fact that it's the same one, I mean, since I was literally like two and stuff, like, I like that.
So the NES, under the Christmas tree, birthday, just another.
Well, the NES is old as I am, so my brother probably got it. And
but you left the home with it.
He had the silver ring on top.
Do have what?
The silver ring on top.
I did have to do some extensive cleaning on it.
It's like a need.
And then, so was the Super NES under the tree?
Somebody jacked me.
Yeah.
Wow. He does that so well.
So mystical.
Real
he has a story. He's had a lot of practice.
Yeah, I don't remember. So I was born in 89. What year was this?
Really? Just let that go, huh? '93.
Really a Rob question.
What year was the Super Nintendo released?
Oh, jeez.
92?
93.
I want that earlier. 93.
Yeah, so I was four, so I don't remember if that's when we got it or not.
Oh, yeah, because...
Well, it had to have been like 90, actually, because I started working at Target, and it was released
Someone used the internet that's sitting in front of them.
I'm working on that right now.
No, let's speculate.
I switched over to it.
So 91. So I was two. 91. So I don't know.
Thank you, Mr. Gamer.
We had a special.
There's no pictures of you going like this.
Oh. Yeah.
Not nearly. I was just lazy and didn't want to disconnect it and bring it here.
That's just your house.
No, honestly, that's part of the consideration. To be like, well, I can bring this system, but I have to disconnect it.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
And it's it might not have survived the
time. Which system? The NES and SNES.
They're like two cords.
I didn't want to go upstairs in this condo.
Exactly.
So they're all going behind you. Move your parents from like their nursing home to bring them somewhere to show them off.
Yeah, there you go. You know, that's why I always encourage having double parents.
No.
So that your parents can stay in their nursing home and you can have the show parents. So
you guys are right. Oh,
I meant systems.
I'm just saying, it's
my God, did we do a lot of I was looking up our SNES episode.
We did a lot of SNES episodes.
And boy was that awesome.
Alright, so who wants to go next? All right,
you know, I could go. All
right, you go next.
And you know, just kind of, I'm going to tag on the original beginning is the, you know, obviously collecting is just so personal. What you want to collect, what you want.
We did one, didn't we?
What it is that you think is like, oh, so cool. And for me, light gun games have always been really cool, but one in particular was always really cool for me. I've collected almost the entire American catalog of PlayStation 1 light gun games. But Elemental Gearbolt was always one of my favorites.
Ooh, nice.
Because I actually didn't buy it originally. I borrowed it from Jim. And Alicia and I played it for hours together, you know, and to be honest, I mean, because she was like, I don't know, 6 or 7 or something like that, she wasn't very good, so,
yeah, I was like 30-something, then I just beat the shit out of her every day,
it's a co-op game, and I felt
so
like,
so she didn't carry her weight,
but, you know what, I'm gonna be okay with that, you know, because it was just so cool with me and my daughter just playing this game together. And it is a different kind of light gun game because almost all the ones kind of deal in the sort of normal gun shooting errors. So Western or contemporary or, you know, police
sci-fi.
Shooting or sci-fi. But this is this game is more like some sort of like D&D sort of fantasy realm, and instead of shooting like bullets or whatever, a lot of times you're shooting like, you know, it's called Elemental Gearbolt, right? So you're shooting like elements, like, you know, like some kind of energy or something like that. So it's a little bit different. It's kind of also kind of strange. It's kind of funny that like he's looking at the insert, which is so thick that they had to make it a double CD.
CD case, yeah.
It doesn't actually use two CDs. And but they just needed the room to be able to put the instruction booklet in.
It's very pretty. It's a very pretty.
I'm in the middle, the exact middle, and it's 28 pages. So the total is 50 pages.
It's 50 pages. And on thick cardboard. Right. And I think it was meant to be really pretty.
Yeah.
I think it was supposed to be.
Yeah, and like the characters have very like anime character design.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, they're really.
I thought it was an RPG just by looking at the case.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
Like,
it's
gun game.
It's a gun game. It's a light gun game. And it gets. I mean, it's kind of an RPG in the sense that you do as you go along. You can level up and stuff like that.
Okay. Cool.
As you go along, but it is a rail light gun game. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Uses all can be used with any of the light guns. So we usually use the non-GunCon style gun with it, but you can use GunCon with it. So I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's but it was just that experience of being able to play with my daughter and stuff like that, you know, for all that time playing this game together. It was a lot of fun. So that one was always good. And it's not a cheap one to go out and find. I mean it's not crazy expensive. Somewhere between 70 and 150. You know,
that is getting up there, though.
Something like that. I mean, so it's one of the more rare ones to try.
Question, is this $10,000 contest still active that's in here?
It is not. And if you won the contest, I believe you got a gold-plated gun con game.
Okay, that says $10,000 too.
Cool. Well, that was the bonus trophy, I guess.
Yeah, but see, they're just counting on people not entering anymore. Wait. Maybe if you enter just in case.
Quick shout out. Kelly and Cheryl, hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Deadline.
We should talk about some of the, like, on another episode. There's some really, really great old video game contests. Like the old Atari, some of the old Atari ones.
That's an excellent idea.
Don't talk about it anymore, because it's on another
episode. You haven't told
we're
going to
do an episode
18.
On it.
But yeah, there's some really ridiculous ones.
It didn't say that.
It says
99.
Oh, does it?
Deadline.
Oh, yeah.
So, Larry, what you're saying is your next collector's piece is going to be that golden gun that someone won.
Yeah, to go with that game.
Yeah, I'm guessing
there should be two of them.
The gold-plated gun is probably going to be a buck or two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Since there's one of them in the entire world.
Well, no, gold-plated
or
melted
down.
Or melted down.
Or melted
down.
It says there's two.
And how nice the producer is pictured here with his, his daughter or someone that he kidnapped. I'm not quite sure.
Could be somebody
he kidnapped. But it's real cute.
Wait, let's see the picture.
Yeah, they actually have, the story and the producers that have pictures of them, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
She looks a little terrified. I'm going to say maybe
kidnapped.
Maybe kidnapped.
She probably grew up to be a productive member for society.
You know, it's funny how many of those contests actually ended up not having
happening,
or only partially.
Yeah, but that's what would make such a great episode. Yeah, fair for the episode.
Totally
because that would
totally
that's something to bring
know
up.
About the contest on the 7800.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool.
Ooh, wow.
The 7800 card.
Okay, that gold-plated gun
is out there.
And is gorgeous.
It's got a case.
Ooh, it's a case that came
the
with.
Let's keep talking about things.
Anyway, all right.
So, that damn gun. It's gorgeous.
It's both representative of a collection I love and a specific piece of the collection that I love. So,
Benjamin! Hey, Ben!
We got all the Bens in the house tonight.
Not to be too syrupy.
Well, you can be syrupy about that. It was, again, something you shared with your daughter.
Okay. Yeah, and it's a good, it's one of the best, if not the best, gun games. Yeah, I mean.
Also, this episode is kind of about.
Oh, it's working design.
It is emotional.
Of course
it is. Emotional. I mean, Travis likes this piece not just because it's rare, but because of what he went through to get that piece.
Yeah, again, it's a constant reminder. Like it's a constant reminder of the highs and lows of collecting.
Yeah,
just
yeah. Right.
And in my head, I can picture us sitting on that couch, and these moments are there, man.
And he misses Alicia. Is what this comes down to.
She's in town right now.
She's in town right now.
Hi, Alicia.
I've actually visited quite a bit this last time that she's been in town, so it's been nice.
All right. Okay, who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
All right.
It comes with a case.
Oh, wait.
I've done this one before.
I know you
have. In honor of the Last Jedi trailer.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
Which Justin has watched.
Yeah.
15,000
Last night, we were playing Star Wars, and we're playing the Battlefront 2 beta, and he was watching the trailer over and over.
And then he was watching someone review the trailer. And then he made me watch it before we went to bed again.
I'm not even going to go there.
Did you see this?
Continue.
And then he made me dress up as Chewbacca.
That's what I knew.
And he was dressed as Slave Lambs.
Right. Absolutely. A very hairy Slave Lambs. So this is just a plug-and-play game. I've shown it before. And it's the Millennium Falcon. The games on it are not that cool. They're just like flying and shooting games. But it was Christmas one year. And I had no idea what to get Justin. And I walked into a Goodwill. And this was lying there. Just lying on top of, in the very top, you know, where all those kids' toys are. So
oh,
just
yeah,
sitting.
Racks,
yep,
everything.
Just
yeah, yeah.
Sitting on top of there.
Before Goodwill got a clue.
Yeah,
they're a little more tight
right
on that.
Oh, I know. They're tight on everything now.
Yeah, that's true.
Goodwill's got expensive.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it was just sitting up there, and it was like a light shining down on it, like, oh.
I mean, the lights are like the building?
Could have been that, too.
I was also tripping on acid. No, I'm just kidding.
She's not.
Anyway, so then I bought it for him, and he was very excited. And this is why it's my favorite. Because it was just there. I stumbled upon it by accident. And it's really fucking cool. So.
Okay, so, based on the connections, I'm going to say it's its own thing. So
it's a plug and play.
Yeah.
She said.
Yeah, it's a plug and play.
You know we love our
plug and play. Do you ever play it?
No, it just kind of sits on
the shelf.
The
games,
games are really not that great. They're just like a flying,
it's
like,
a sentimental thing, Larry.
It's not cool.
You know, for people who have emotions.
Was he not just talking about the sentiment? I almost cried.
There was a, yeah, there was a little tear coming to the corner of his eye when he was talking about that.
Yeah, those I don't know.
Larry's ready to have another baby just so that he can experience
it. I know. But, you know, I wasn't sure if they played the game.
We have played it. No. It's not that cool. It's
or
really
have Laura personally played it? Maybe the controller is more important, like, oh, you know, you know, or maybe the game's
just
great.
About the Chewbacca thing.
Okay.
You know? So.
Oh, shit.
But now I know that the game's actually kind of soft.
Yeah, the games are.
So,
I mean, they're
but
fine.
But the controller's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it makes fine. A shiny ornament.
There you go. See?
Put it on a Christmas tree.
Maybe.
Just use the cord. Just
and then small screen around. On the Christmas tree and you can play it on the Christmas tree.
Oh, aren't you smart?
All right, who wants to go next?
No one's ever said that before.
Well, there's only me, you, and Rob left.
Come on, man.
Well, I thought I misunderstood because I watched his episode where he did three things.
Yeah, I did a different.
Oh, so you were doing three?
Well, but I can do two really fast.
All right, well,
are you gonna do three, two really fast, and then one slow?
Yeah, I'll do one slow. Okay. So the first fast
really
one
slow.
Is, you know, I've had games my whole life, and some of them have been recycled and returned to buy other stuff. But the one thing I did keep was my Amiga 500 since 1990, whatever. And that's been either in the basement or in a box or out or back in a box and bet, you know, it's been in and out. So keeping that with the hard drive and all the stuff that came with it, that's one of the things that I enjoyed to keep.
That's exactly how I
that piece of hardware. It's something I remember.
You guys keep
talking about all the childhood stuff and I was awful with gear as a kid.
You are.
Whoa, Trash, I destroyed everything.
Have you seen my shit lately? He's got it.
Yeah. His video game stuff is immaculate.
Like,
the
I
rest of his life.
Yeah.
Oh, but his video game.
We're not talking about the rest of my life.
We're
talking about the
video games.
He took a hammer to everything.
Yeah. So I'll still never forget those laptops we waited for out outside of Office Depot.
Oh, yeah.
And then dude,
I really
bolted it together.
Yeah,
I came over.
Yeah, it was like a $300 Black Friday. It was like a compact laptop.
Literally, it was cold as fuck. These guys are out there in a tent. I'm sitting in the car. I am not sitting out in a tent.
But I ran the thing for like 4 or 5 years, and like by the end, like the plastic's coming off, and like
he had like a bolted through like a metal hinge.
Yeah.
I literally looked like Frankenstein.
Yeah, I trashed the crap out of it.
It was great.
I used it all the time. I just remember.
But Tom continued to buy him stuff. So who's the sucker?
All right. I'm gonna stop now. All right,
so
I'm with you.
I've kept it for all these years. I mean, the Commodore 64 went, the Nintendo Entertainment System, Super Nintendo, all that stuff got shipped back to GameStop or something. I don't know. Whatever. But the Amiga was one that I just kept.
I hate to tell you.
And have not gotten rid of at all. Nor do I ever plan to really get rid of it.
I almost want to cry now because I got rid of mine. And what was more important, I could buy another Amiga. I could get another Amiga.
You're very sentimental.
But I can't get one that Tom put a toggle switch in it so that one game would work.
That's right. Only one game.
Yeah. Pinball Fantasies would
I had to mod the computer. Yeah.
It would.
That was a big freaking deal.
I was using a hard drive system, and it was on 2.0, and we had to toggle it so it would only recognize 1.3.
Right.
Or every time the ball went into a pinball hole, it would lock up. It would play fine as long as the ball didn't go into a hole. But as soon as it went in a hole, it would lock up. But if you switched it to run on 1.3, it'd run great.
So you had the rock pitcher, right? or something else.
Jim will swear there was no code that said lock up when the ball goes in the hole.
Actually, I think it was switching the fast round back.
Fast round.
I think it was a fast gram issue.
Maybe it ended up to be a fast.
It was
gram.
A fast.
He's like.
I switched it so it would switch it to a 512 versus the 1 meg.
Yeah.
And it was.
But
just,
I literally added one switch to his system to do that.
Yeah.
And, that was the only game he used it for.
It was a toggle switch.
I'm sure when you sold it, you probably showed the person. Yeah. Here's Pinball Fantasy. Yeah. Game. The Pinball Fantasy switch. This is just for this game.
I had the 600, the NTSC version of the Amiga 600, which is just rare as shit. And I think I sold it for about $80 or something in Kansas. Yeah. It just fucking kills me.
So that,
what was I thinking?
Kansas really sucked your whole
life. Well, at least I sold mine 500 for 200.
Yeah.
No,
I
me,
still twitch sometimes when I talk about it.
Yeah. So
but anyways, because Tom had modded that,
oh, yeah.
It was like, oh, that would be the 500 I want.
So Tom and I had a lot of good times with the 500.
Don't touch that!
I can't believe you touched that! You told me not to touch it! What the hell did you think I was going
to
do?
No, but I told you not to touch it!
I was too.
We were doing a bunch of mods. Just don't touch it. And he did it anyway!
Had to!
Yeah, you just got to see what happens.
I think, wasn't Jim on the phone too at the same time?
We were working like over gyms. There like toddler group.
Yeah, exactly. He had the hair back then. It was kind of gross.
Roll.
So,
okay, so two.
That's Amiga.
That was the first
that's
one.
Amiga one. Keeping right. That for
good call.
Years.
Good call.
Number two is
Was that the fast one?
That was the fast one. Keep going.
I was gonna make it fast. Everyone else made it a very fast one. Number two.
I'm just curious if we ruined your fast one.
The third one will probably become the fast one now. But the number two would be growing up, going to arcades, one of the games, they always had games. For me, it was Robotron. So when these arcade auctions start coming around, I went to one of them and I found a cabinet that I knew was Robotron underneath and decided I'm going to restore this thing. Well, I didn't do such a hot job on it. I got almost there, but I was too lazy to buy the guts, so I just made it like a main machine. But it was dedicated.
Did
you
bring it in?
Huh? I didn't bring it in. So,
disappointed.
It's in the trunk. Yes, I just like drifted up the stairs. So that machine, I decided to sell because I found a machine that I was like, I'm an adult, I can pay for this. And it wasn't an original Robotron machine. I found a full-size multi-Williams arcade stand-up machine that I bought it mainly for Robotron, but because it has Defender and Stargate and other games on it, that's one of my collection that I'm really proud of. So, because for me, that game, I remember as a kid like walking into the arcade out at Browns Lake, and that was like out in the middle. And every time I walked in there, I swear they were playing Rush, Tom Sawyer, and I would go up to that game.
Sounds
and I want to play Robotron.
I feel like
we drank all that beer already.
You know,
I feel like
it is a session beer. See,
obviously, I won't experience, but the real arcade experience, I feel like, is a little different for our younger staff members.
Oh, yeah.
When I was younger,
for back pay. But that wasn't the real
Sally. No, it yeah, wasn't. It wasn't. But that's all we have.
Yeah. All we remember is our drink castle is like.
That was me.
Ooh.
I think she has her red stage.
It's his own stuff. It's okay. It was like a dark mall room that just had games on one side and each side, and then what?
Oh,
the row in the middle, right?
To be fair, the Regency Mall had an arcade for a lot longer than it did. It
had transformed to something a little different. It had become the ticket distributor and stuff like that. Even up north as a younger teenager, there was like so it's all the way up north, and there was like. This like what amounted to a big shed that had all these arcade machines in it and a jukebox.
And that's pretty much what the Browns Lake Arcade was, too.
And it, right. And so
it became like a storage shed for vehicles after it was done. And I was like, I really say, I'm like, this is all this was back then?
We had a bunch
of,
like...
playing Donkey Kong to the Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of arcade games in my basement when I was younger, so we didn't need to go to an arcade.
Oh, that's kind of sweet. Spoiled.
Yeah. So I had to wait until I was older in life.
I guess you're fucking jealous.
Sorry. So then we had Tapper and Crystal Castles.
You had a Tapper machine? Yeah. Which version? Root beer or the...
Budweiser.
Oh, that's the best.
I want a Tapper machine so bad because I had one when I was a kid.
Tapper's so awesome.
One of these years, I'm going to save up at MGC and actually buy one.
I see we have a moment of silence.
They sell really quick, don't they?
They Tapper.
They sell.
The beer one does.
The beer one does.
Root beer one is just such a poser.
They want so many root beers, right? Sour. So, number three, you guys have seen this, but
this is awesome.
I'll have to have Buddy Russell
this
talk
so
more about
awesome.
This. But this is an early Atari 2600.
This is the first multi-cart.
You had replaceable ROM chips.
You got little EEPROMs.
Yes.
You got little labels over them,
labels
so
you don't actually...
Right, so the UV light doesn't destroy it, right?
Yeah. And then you had the arrow pointing which way to put them in.
Holy shit, that's
this
awesome.
Is
technically the first multi-card for a game system.
I mean, I don't...
How old is it?
This case was so misleading. I thought this was like some stupid Atari card game or something.
It's worse. It's worse. It's my Atari sleep shorts.
This is like a multi-cart from the
era. He's gonna
show that.
Yeah,
this is
so this is and then there's just a crap ton of additional.
So again, because it's
this
was pre-multimedia, SD, any kind of storage device like that.
So you literally turned the Atari into what was the system where you just like took the game out and put a new one in, and it was a new system.
Oh, that was the
triangle
shaped one by Coleco.
Also,
it
should
still
work.
Wow.
Yeah. So basically, what you would do is, I've got two of those.
Yeah, but he can't remember what it is.
Yeah,
I
can't. It's a Coleco system.
I can't either.
So basically, and I actually had one of these cartridges in the day, and I had a ROM burner, and you would you didn't download them at that time. You had to pop in. You'd have to desolder a ROM off an existing board, pop it into the reader, read the ROM into your system, and then put the EEPROM in, and then burn it back out. Don't forget, this is like,
this
is like 80.
I feel like 79, 80. I feel like that's a level of pirating that you pretty much can let go.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. This was.
You had to, first of all.
That's dedication, though. I never would have. I would have just bought this shit.
No.
Exactly.
Not when you're poor. And
I would have just robbed someone.
No, this is it. I mean, still, from a standpoint, these games are fairly expensive. From a standpoint of. If you had
$20 or so?
Roughly $20 a cartridge.
Right. But you were making.
That was
$70
nowadays.
Okay. So I can buy, at that time, I'd buy an EEPROM like this probably for about $5. So about a quarter of the cost. Yes, you had to have, friends who either had already ripped the files themselves by taking their cartridge
totally
apart, or you had
to destroy someone else's cartridge.
Yeah, but once you've done it, you made a copy of it.
So then you put these onto
the Atari 2600. Wait, which
a computer?
No, Atari 2600.
Yeah, the ROMs you would save them onto a floppy disk. So
you
save the ROMs onto a floppy disk,
okay.
And then you could burn them back out via an EEPROM burner.
Gotcha.
So these have little glass windows on them. That's what this sticker is covering, is a little glass window. I'm sorry, you don't mind?
Yeah, no.
So I'm going to go into the technical.
He's super excited. Look at him.
So there's a little glass window under here, and literally you have this little UV tray. So if you didn't like the game you burned, you'd take this, you'd put this in this little tray, you'd put it under a UV light for about 30 minutes, and then it would completely wipe it clean, and you could burn it again. So you can reuse these. These are called not E-squared ROMs, but EEPROMs, erasable programmable read-only memory, versus an E-squared ROM, which is electronically erasable
So you're gonna buy them.
This is gonna sound stupid of me and very young of me. Young of me. But I didn't know that pirating went back this far.
Yeah. No, go back.
There's a will, there's a way.
Oh, I gotta get rid of all this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanna go to jail.
Well, wait a minute. All these illegal ROMs you have in here.
No,
that's amazing.
You know what I was going to say?
I probably have all of them.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't?
You know what I was going to say?
118 bucks in the Universal.
The programmer. Yeah, they were not cheap back then.
You know what I was going to say is that, no, pirating back then, I mean, you had this, or you were just another company.
So, Ryan.
LegalVision.
Ryan, did you rip these yourself?
No, my buddy Rusty gave me this. Because he gave me this.
You were Sears.
So that's another thing is like when I decided I was gonna start collecting stuff, which is kind of like Nintendo 64 time. Another buddy from college gave me his Intellivision. I have all of his stuff. It was like I'm not gonna do anything with it. So like I started. If you're not gonna do anything, they knew that I was like holding on to things that I would eventually display or
right.
keep and
yeah.
and you know I
and enjoy more than them probably yeah.
Now I think
and
right,
that one's in
now
backwards
thinking...
now.
Now, like I'm thinking, like, with this kind of crap available and this kind of, like, collection, I say crap in the most loving way.
Right, no,
and it's like, imagine, like, you know, the right now there's, like, a real popularity of, like, arcade bars and stuff, but, like, console or, like, bars that you can just go in and play like old Atari games and stuff like that. Maybe there's 10 of them or so with different stuff like this. So just like all the time, you know?
Yeah, it's again.
Or the Famiclones. I mean,
the problem.
Right.
The problem with these things is
it's not
they really were for the hardcore because
you
really are changing out a chip.
Well, that's just so much
right.
work. Like nowadays,
so
you just download something.
Tom, for not so much for the actual chips. He said that was like $4 or $5.
Right.
What about the actual setup? Like, how much would this actually
cost? Oh, the board was not terribly expensive at all.
Okay.
Again, it was about the cost of a cartridge, about $20.
Okay, so it wasn't bad. It was just more so having the equipment to do it all at
the
time.
Correct. Right.
Did you have to order it from Russia?
No.
And did it come in a brown wrapper?
These were all coming out of the States back then.
That's what I was curious if it was hard to get as well.
No, they were not hard
okay.
to get.
So basically, it was just more so the time and having the story cards. So basically, the people that did it
correct.
Also made money by selling
right.
them
and
to cover the cost. Also, again, it was like
and
hobbyist.
You could mod an existing.
Yeah.
You didn't even have to buy this. You could mod an existing cartridge because most of the cartridges were just this. The address
they
chip
were
and the ROM. So you basically, once you took that ROM off there to
yeah.
read it, you'd put a ZIF socket in and then you had one anyway.
Perfect.
So you made your own.
They were legal because maybe you wrote your own game. And now you
no, Atari play. Actually was fairly good about policing their that you had to license through Atari to write games for the Atari.
No, no, I'm just saying, like, maybe you
not
made
that,
wrote
no, the
your
Atari
own game.
No, it was Nintendo started that.
That's
license.
Right. They were
yeah,
the
ones that that's kind of why
yeah.
they're crap.
Well, that was the seal.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
was
yeah.
The, that was literally
but
the
this,
seal.
This is a beautiful piece. We
it
are,
was,
and by the way, we are going to do a show about multi-carts, and I want to go into this more because this is. This
yeah,
is
I'm actually a, really interested in this.
This is such
really
a cool,
cool
piece.
Yeah.
All right, let's get rolling.
So,
all
right, all right. I have one last thing.
All
right, okay. So all the cartridges have a little yellow sticker, except one has an orange one.
Why?
Because it's Custer's Revenge.
Oh!
I think that was too
sticker.
Porn.
Sexual. Yes. No, they could, no, they put a red,
red
sticker on
red
it.
Sticker.
Yeah.
Orange is as red. In stop, don't put this in, don't
if
play.
Yes.
18, do not play this.
Yes.
That was the early ESRB, right?
Yeah, there you
yellow
go. That's
means
exactly.
okay for kids.
Right.
Right.
Red,
not
so
much.
So you've let Alexandra play that.
It
right.
probably looks like
you know what?
Yeah, now they're all out of the... You could play it. Nobody would know.
Everybody knows Custer's Revenge, but nobody knows A Night About the Town. I mean, it's the same game.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's the reason.
Yeah, but slightly better.
I think because I don't. Did they come out after? Maybe.
I would assume because it improved.
Yeah,
that's what happens.
So the one thing I gotta find is the thing that holds these chips much better than
just
than
by the
throwing
tubes.
Them in a
by the tubes.
Then, like, nestling out.
Yeah.
Nestling them on
yeah.
each other.
No, by the
they
end
of
the
each other.
And then
I actually
did
an
Atari
game.
I kind of like your Atari
it.
10.
Oh, yeah, I remember those, because on the Apple IIgs, the memory chips used to come in those.
Yeah, the
anti-static. Yeah, and then
no,
you
just,
like...
you just... What you want to do
then,
you
like, eight of them,
putting
them in.
Just
yeah.
cut
I do have another question about the tin. Is that like a stocking stuffer you got, or is this something that
Kohl's,
you actually bought
Kohl's
for yourself?
They were on the clearance rack for Kohl's for like $3.
Nice.
I feel like the
Atari
tin is
great.
Yeah,
it's a great
I think
tin.
It is. It's like, oh look, it's Atari candy.
I thought it was. I had no idea what it was, but I didn't expect you to open it and have all these like
microchips.
Yeah.
So I would say
that's
this is
awesome.
Because I don't have
More
a lot of
sound.
Rare
yes.
stuff, but I think this falls in that rare.
That is
it's a cool
that
category.
Is fair. And again,
yeah,
that
like
many.
That
EEPROMs in the collection.
And the
amazing.
Fact that Rusty Hell Lot, you know,
the fact
just
that I didn't even know this
like,
existed.
Look at all this stuff.
That's
like,
freaking amazing.
It's like, I will hold on to these and they will be part of my collection.
Damn straight.
Forever.
That's awesome.
You know, again, and,
how did
and
that
I would say that would be a really
die.
Good one to show at MGC this year.
Yeah.
Yes, it would.
Yeah, display
how
all the chips
how
up
did
on the board.
Atari
die. And, oh, that
behind
looks,
glass.
Okay. Oh, yeah, behind glass. Oh, God, yes.
Shadow box.
Yeah, well, shadow box.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Okay, so. I'm gonna go next. This was a tough one for me. I've had a couple of ones.
Yeah, you have a million systems.
That's part of it, but I've all
controllers
and most of it.
No, but the problem was I've had a couple of white whales in my lifetime of collecting things that I saw when they first came out and I wanted to get them. Like Ryan, I still have my original 2000. Actually. My original 2000, which ran EOTU, which is a bulletin board game.
It is super.
Look
how much
talking about.
I loved your BDS.
Right. Which me and Rob used to run together. I still have it. It came from a friend of mine who passed away, Danger Mouse. I still have that. I still have that original 2000. It's still in perfect condition. That's kind of my original.
Can you still throw up that super sweet BDS?
You bet I can. Actually, no. I'm actually thinking about.
I don't have a phone line.
No, they've come up with a whole bunch of white. What's gotten really hot nowadays is Wi-Fi modems for old.
I've
systems,
seen those.
And people are opening up their old BBSs. I'm kind of seriously considering bringing EOTU back. If you
would
just type in BBS list EOTU, you can see what me and Rob used to do in the old days.
Well, yeah, I'll probably
send an email saying,
can I be a drunken brew the whole game?
Oh, yeah, drunken brew.
Okay, but getting back down to
one of the first.
So that was part of it, really deciding on something, but like you, I've kept that. But I also had some white whales in collection systems I couldn't afford when I first started collecting and got into this, and now I've been able to been fortunate enough to have time and collect. So the CD TV when it first came out, I remember seeing it one of the very early demo units. There used to be a software company in Racine that was producing the Fred Fish discs.
I remember that.
Yeah, you do. So Poplowski's.
Yeah,
they were doing it, and he had. So this is where me and him started. Meeting.
I knew. Well, no, it was before that because Commodore.
Oh, that's
true.
But the
Amiga stuff was from Marcus, his son.
Yeah.
Like, and I went over and like, this computer's amazing, and he called me Zamahack because every time I turned it on, I could guru meditation the
every time.
It's like, how do you keep doing that? Like. I don't know what this red bar means, but
he had one of the prototypes, the original CD32s in his office, and I got to see it there.
CDTV, right?
Yeah, CDTV, I'm sorry. He had one of them there because they were testing out the discs that they were making up, and it was amazing stuff. So that was one of my white whales, and I've managed to collect one. We show it at MGC once in a while and other shows, but that's I was very lucky, and about 3 or 4 years ago, I found one that in really good order. And I picked it up. But that's not necessarily all. Just so many good pieces. I also, my very first video game system.
He has to stand up for this.
Yeah, I do, because I've got a very large box. My very first video game system I had from my oldest brother, Mike. So this goes back to the 70s. This is the first home video game system. Grew up fairly.
Look at all that color on
this. Fairly poor. Let's put it that way. No, dirt poor. But my brother joined the Navy, and one thing about Navy guys is they always had lots of cash to spend. Because they had no wives, exactly.
Exactly.
So evidently the PX, when the Odyssey first came out, carried it. The PX at Great Lakes Naval Academy Great Lakes Naval Station down in Illinois carried it, and Mike bought one for the family for Christmas. So this came out in 72.
what, 70? Oh, God.
You can probably look in the box.
Yeah, I could, but I'm not.
Or some of you use their
magic technology.
We got it like
in 74. Mike bought it first like in 74. But he bought it first for Christmas, and it was, again, gift for the family system. But it was a video game. I mean, this was it. This was the first home video game. And it was just like, this was amazing at that time.
I love how the Switch is
72. So I didn't get it until 74, which makes sense. Wow. Mike wouldn't have got it right when it came out.
I like that the on-off switch is literally pulling
the characters
in and out.
Battery powered.
That's so cool, though. Like, everyone, okay, so all of you millennials at home, including myself and, like, Travis, like, imagine. Imagine going back and, like, getting the first video game system.
Yeah, so the first home video game, I've kind of messed up the cartridges here. But, their idea of cartridges are really just
wires.
I'll hold that while you hold this up in a moment. So, the way they did cartridges back then, this is a video game cartridge from 72. All it is a bunch of wires that connected. The games are actually built into the system. And you just change the wiring effectively of the system to play it.
So it's a fancy jumper.
I see it comes with poker chips.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Because
so you can gamble.
Exactly. So the game system is designed, it had no color. It was black and white. So you had these really cool static overlays that would stick to your TV screen.
Down in different sizes.
When you wanted, yeah, of course, because you might have a small TV or a large TV, and you would stick these on your TV screen. There's no.
Can you show us what a large TV was back in 1974?
My computer monitor work is bigger.
Yeah, no, I got
to say
he did. No,
way. It costs $80.
Yeah. So the whole thing was that the graphics are all just blocks. There's no fancy sprites or anything like that. So yeah, that was a small TV back in 74. This would be a large screen TV back in 74. So that was it, kids.
So I have three of those monitors.
That's
when
you had
out.
One of those consoles.
What are you talking?
That had the bar and a stereo system built into it. And we did have one of those consoles with a bar and stereo system.
I'm thinking that's a 19-inch.
The bar and the stereo system? Yeah.
I think that's as big as my monitor at work. I have two.
But again, so
three.
This
was... I've got a 42-inch.
Just put together with all the overlays for the TV and stuff.
Yeah, so that is it, guys. That is the very first home video game
system.
And we have shown this at
we do every year.
You can do English on the
ball.
You can. It took several days for us to figure that out.
Yeah.
This year I helped hook it, or this past year I helped hook this up. And as I'm like hooking it up, Tom's giving me this lecture about how it's the oldest, you know, home game system and how it's his original and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, I don't feel like I should be handling this thing.
Well, the fun part is he does keep
I see that one.
Like 1970s TV.
Yes.
No, that was fun.
Hook it up to.
Yeah.
Oh, God, so you can have the true experience.
No, I do. I have a TV from the same period.
So this is from I want to talk about this particular game. Because
show
really,
us on the doll where they touch it.
Yeah, yes, exactly. This is one of the first... the first...
yes.
The first...
Really?
Report your neighbor. It's called Show Me Where They Touched You. And you don't see games like this real often anymore.
Yeah.
And you know you're okay. Really, you know you're okay if they just keep pointing at the cat.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Well, wait.
That just my pussy.
No.
So,
oh God.
So. Again, the game system, it literally ran on like 6D batteries. You could buy a power adapter for it, but it runs on 6D batteries. Like Larry said, there's no on and off switch. You stuck the cartridge in. Not only did it complete the wiring for the game, but it turned the game on by completing the power for the on and off switch. The controls would be nothing you would recognize by today's standards. They are very... Oh God, I'll hand that to you for just a moment. They are very awkward and unwieldy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I feel like they're
like,
very,
yeah, like
turn the knob.
Yeah.
I think they're
hold
very
like this
wrong.
And you're like going back and forth. Like.
But this was the beginning.
I think they're very raw to the first video game system in like. Like when you watch a video, like a movie of the first video game system, and you see the guys in white coats and they're effing around with a round screen.
With an old Oscilloscope, which was.
That's why I think those controllers are actually like.
But Bushnell actually took that development from that, and that's exactly what it was.
Right.
The game itself is not digital at all. These are all analog. Everything in here is analog. There's no digital processing.
There's no brain at all, really.
Right. There's absolutely no processing in here. It is literally an analog system. Yes, we generate, you know, what appears to be effectively digital images, but it's done through analog circuitry.
And here it is from 1974, still working, and we have Xboxes from like 2006 that don't work at all.
From 2015.
Well, why does my Xbox One not read this?
I'm
like,
the
thing's like 1 year old.
Yeah, exactly.
The more you come,
who's using a disc with it?
Yeah.
The tougher it is to keep it going.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean,
just saying,
a lot of these did die. It's just, these things were made in a time when, you know, you didn't have a computer to design them. They literally, I think I've mentioned this before, they would, to make the traces small enough, they would mount a projector on the ceiling with the traces, and they would actually walk the traces back then. It's just crazy how low tech it was developing these things. You know, traces are that thick, so they're never going to burn out. They're like,
yeah, no, they are, exactly.
And, you know, inch wide.
And again, inch wide. So this one was, again, was developed by Bushnell, and again, Bushnell, right? Yeah.
You kept things longer then.
Yeah.
You know, when they were made.
Well, again, dude, because these were big investments. Yeah. I mean, we were poor. If my brother hadn't been in the Navy, trust me, we wouldn't have had one of these. There's no way. I mean, these were horribly, horribly expensive back then.
$99.
What's that?
$99.
Adjust for inflation.
Introductory price.
Yes, that's like $300.
Adjust for by today's pricing now.
It's $566.
Yeah.
Is it?
$566 in today's dollars.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
still cheaper than
the other thing cool is because
when it came out,
it was kind of meant as an overall family system. You had all these board game elements to it. For the, you know, like a casino where you actually used real chips and machines. I still got mine in the shrink wrap. You know, all sorts of card games that
gambling
went with
games.
It. I mean, it was a very cool. And again, this one's kind of my pride and joy because it's a very complete one.
It's a stand-up thing.
What stand-up thing?
Holy cow, that's cool.
You said that multimedia wasn't a
visitor.
Thing.
Yeah, that's for the baseball game.
He said that multimedia wasn't a thing, and here he is with his multimedia.
Well.
Downs, quarter, plays, flap A and B.
Yeah, again, it's this is one of my, again, more prized pieces. Not that it's my only good piece, but this is kind of another one of mine that I just.
No.
Again.
Yeah.
Is it a great game? No. And all honestly, no sound, no scoring. The games themselves suck. They're boring. I mean, back then,
Pong's pretty good.
The Pong was good, but
yeah, I mean,
I
spirited games of Pong on it.
Yeah, we honestly.
Once we figured out how it works.
No, people actually do sit down. I'm always amazed how many people just. Holy shit! And start playing it with you, and it's like, yeah, it's not that bad actually. No sound, no scoring, no nothing. But again, just to see that first video game, that first home video game, and get a chance to experience it and play on it. So again, if you're at MGC, stop by. We'll definitely have it set up again this year. All right. There was a few other ones, CDTV, but that's fine. That's all the only one we'll discuss.
All right.
What do you got, Rob?
This is actually my first home console. This isn't it. I mean, but it's actually there for us.
Yeah, because he is the sell it and then recover it.
You do, Rob.
Yeah. I do.
You do.
Yeah. I buy things multiple times. This is the number three. But this is my first Atari, the Sears Video Arcade 2. And what is really freaking cool about it is...
It looks like a 7800.
Yes. Well, it is literally a precursor of the design. And what's kind of cool about it is game systems did not have, like, the LED lighting system in them at this time. I mean, this is the early 80s. But when you power this guy up,
it doesn't seem like that was like massive technology though. They have a little red light.
Yeah, right. But this.
But think about all the original video games.
But this sucker lit up like a Christmas tree. It's actually
really.
It's actually got quite a few. It's got a rocker switch, but if you look,
ooh,
see, it's got multiple LEDs.
Look at that.
And everything was push button.
So you got to remember, this was a time when LED watches. LED watches were so cool.
Yeah, I really like this one. And then the controller was also innovative. And remember, this is just an Atari. I mean, this was at the time when Atari was still dominant. The controller also was very innovative.
Oh, that does sound like, this look like the controller that hurts from this ME-100.
Exactly. It's a little bit better though. It's got a built-in,
both hands?
Yeah. But it didn't have, Atari only had one button, so this used both, but it's a lot kinder to
handle
than the 7800. I don't know why they did what they did with the 7800, but, also built-in paddles. So that's unusual in that you actually do have to plug in four of these to have four players.
Unless you use the original paddles. That is the system I first played Dark Cavern on, which is a really good game for
but
the 2600.
The controller, if you feel it, feel that next to a 7800 controller, and you'll know that's a way better freaking controller.
Makes sense, man.
I like the cable management.
Yeah, it also has cable management on the back.
Now, the 7800 did have that.
Yeah.
Where you could wrap your cords up and things
and
like that.
It's a Sears video.
Hidden switches.
Yep.
Yes.
Sears.
Yeah, they never, only in Japan, this was originally made in Japan as the Atari 2700 or 2800. Mm. And it never came out in the U.S. except through Sears.
Weird.
Sears brought it up.
And now Sears is going out of business.
Yeah.
So,
well,
but
you know, it's not because they didn't video games.
No,
and in the earlier in the early days of video gaming, Sears was the one to go to. What do you mean?
Decades ago, Sears was the only place you went to forever. Yeah,
yeah,
no,
true.
But that's what I'm saying. So back then,
Sears was
a huge thing, and now
they're going back to being a catalog. They're getting rid of brick and mortar, and you can order all kinds of crap from Sears. And or robot.
The four controllers.
Yeah.
You said
four
controllers.
Yeah,
there's
four ports on it.
Wow.
They went like four.
So it might have been the first four port
system. This is nice.
System.
The 7800 had four ports, right?
No.
No,
it 7800 has two ports.
No, but the 5200 had a four port model. There was a two port model and a four port model.
Yeah, but every 5200 is terrible.
Well,
that is
no matter how many ports it has.
We'll
it
probably get the 5200 people.
They're all going to get
I got to say what I hope.
Send the Lariat, Guys, Games, and Beer.
We didn't say the Jaguar was bad.
But
that makes sense.
Now you're going up on
I got to say, at Christmas when I opened that up, I was blown away because I'd never seen anything like it before. There's nothing, there was no system like
wood grain.
Yeah, and you would look at something like the ColecoVision. Even the ColecoVision was a terribly crude console as far as appearance.
Yeah.
This is a very
fine.
This
that's
almost looks modern.
Yeah, it does actually.
You
can very modern.
You can put it up there and nobody think anything.
No, it's very slick. It's a nice little design system. You're right. I mean, from a design
very
standpoint,
pretty system.
It's very different from anything else at the time.
Yeah, not terribly rare, but just
they
unusual.
Broken from the 70s.
Yes. It broke from that 70s design.
I think that the moral of everyone's story here, not everyone's, but a lot of people's,
to break
is
from
that,
the 70s?
No, that it was the original game system.
Oh, that makes sense.
You know?
That's it. You just have that bomb spot for it.
Yeah. No, I know, not yours. But yours was sentimental, too.
Well, it's sentimental, but it wasn't the original system.
I thought you said psychomental.
Psychomental.
I just put my cartridge in your system.
It was a mental.
Ooh. Look at that. It fits perfect.
It's a good fit. And that's what's funny is everyone puts it in the other way and it doesn't work.
Yes, but the good thing about it doesn't hurt it either.
Yeah, that was always like frustrating about like the Atari design is like they have these really super, or at least sometimes have super great labels and you got to like face them away from you.
Yeah.
So you can't see them. Wouldn't it be great if you like plugged it in and the super great label was looking at you? I think that'd
been
the better design.
All right, Rob, why don't we go ahead and wrap this thing up?
Yeah, let's wrap this sucker up. It's been
way too long.
We went along tonight.
So, if you enjoyed this episode, and Lord knows you did.
It was amazing.
You can check us out at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. We
destroyed this one.
Darn right. At Facebook. If you want some free games, we still...
beers everywhere.
Speaking
and
of just Facebook free games, what did you give away this week, Rob?
We gave away Vindicta this week. And there's one more left. Oh. So there's still time to get yourself a copy of Vindicta. www.facebook.com/... Guys, Games and Beer. I forgot the name of the podcast.
No problem.
After 5 years, I just forgot the name of the podcast.
Guess what I
said? On Twitter, sorry.
Guess what I said, too.
Guys, Games, Beer. Yet more copies.
I saved one more copy that I'm going to be giving away tomorrow on Twitter. So if you wanted to get a copy of a really great VR game, we will be giving away one tomorrow on Twitter.
Yep, and Friday on Facebook.
All right, so two more copies coming up. One tomorrow, one on Friday. Tomorrow on Twitter, Friday on Facebook. This is a game you really want to get. I mean, it's not terribly expensive anyways. If you haven't bought it, you probably should just go out and buy it. But
I agree. It's actually a really good VR game.
Oh my
god!
If
you got VR, you got to try it.
Yeah, but we are going to be giving away two copies this week, so check us out.
Yep, and then finally, if you hang on, the stream will kick back on in a few minutes after this, and we're going to be doing some Xbox modding. It's a little moment.
Yeah.